everybody. Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Alan Juban.
What's up?
As well as CB Gold.
What up?
As well as Joe Perez, Joe the Kid. It's been crazy. First of all, the cat in my bathroom gave birth. I just want to let you know we have four kittens in my bathroom right now. Four adorable little kittens.
Congratulations.
It's crazy because...
You're daddy.
I was away for a week, and I got home, and 2 hours later, I think she was waiting for me to get home. Very, very sweet cat. And you ever seen a cat give birth?
No.
It's one of the craziest things. They come out in like a sack, and then they eat through it. I didn't know that. I thought the cat was eating her kids because they give birth one at a time or two at a time, but every hour they keep coming out. And I'm like, great, I have a fucking zombie cat eating through the sack.
Was this late at night?
No, it was about 6 or 7 o'clock. You were
digging it though, right? You were super excited about it.
I was excited. Well, when it first came out, I just saw this black thing. I thought it was like a big dump or a turd. I'm like, what? And then all of a sudden it started moving. I was like, holy shit. And it was, but she said, there are four kittens, four different, there's one white one, looks like a cow kind of, one black one and two gray ones. It's cool. I mean, she's actually a super sweet cat. I was actually petting the cat while in between the birth and she wanted to get pet and was like, I'm like, wow, she's, you know.
Who's the baby daddy?
We don't know.
It's always like that. Yeah.
My girlfriend did say there was one cat lingering around, so she has her suspicions on the one cat. This is the second time this cat's been pregnant, and the first time the babies didn't make it. She doesn't know where the babies are. They just disappeared. So it's nice, but now they got to be in my bathroom for 6 more weeks before I can give them out.
And then what? You're gonna hand them out?
Yeah. I got people already on Instagram and Twitter saying they want some. It's only four too. I was like, if it was like 12, I'd be super.
But, my son might want one, man.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I've had dogs my whole life. I've never really had an inside cat, but I don't know. Maybe it's like a good little test to hand my 3.5-year-old to see his maturity level. We'll see.
It'll be cool though, because you have that big fat dog.
Yeah.
And then I would
it'd be cool if they bonded, though, you know.
They probably will. If it's a kitten, they will.
Yeah.
You know, so super excited about that. And then I also have even bigger news than that. So last week I was in Rochester, New York, and I get a phone call from my girlfriend saying that she's pregnant. And I was like,
what?
Yeah, so wow. I was like, great. So I guess we're going to keep you in the bathroom with the cat.
it's only 9 months. On,
yeah.
No, but
only 9 months.
So she legitimately, she's, I'm not
real
supposed
deal,
to
huh?
talk about it yet. It's brand new, but
congratulations.
But yeah, so we are going to have a baby, and I'm excited. I'm going to be a dad.
And so how far into this are you guys?
I think the night of the Laugh Factory show, I think, was the night she got pregnant. I actually texted Dana. I'm like, wow, I must have had her.
June 5th.
So I must have had a really good set because I was excited. I actually texted Dana. I'm like, Dana, I must have really had a great set because I got my girlfriend pregnant that day, and he wrote back, LMFAO, congrats, man. And then I was going to be like, hey, can I get 2 tickets? But I want to get tickets to UFC 200, but yeah. I didn't actually. So yeah, so I'm going to be a dad.
Congratulations.
Super excited about that. And we're going to get married. I haven't proposed to her yet. Where did you propose to your wife?
I proposed to her at, Aroma Cafe here in the Valley.
Yeah.
In Studio City at Aroma Cafe. That was where we had our first date. And so I brought her back there. The ring was burning a hole in my pocket, man. The day I got the ring, I went immediately from picking up the ring to meeting her at lunch. And I couldn't keep it.
How much was your ring?
It was a lot, man. No, it was, at the time, it was the most expensive thing I've probably ever bought.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I don't go, too crazy on shit like that.
Did you have a big wedding or no?
No, man, we got married in Costa Rica, and I only had maybe 5 family members that we brought out, and did a small little wedding on the beach. Stayed there in Costa Rica for the honeymoon. Just kind of like had some villas in the jungle. It was sweet, man. We had a really the wedding itself. I could tell you was like under $5,000 for the wedding, honeymoon, everything, because we just did it all in one thing. You know, real small, and. You know, we were able to save our money to work on the house. We didn't want to put all the money into the wedding.
I was thinking about doing that. Having a small wedding and then having like a big wedding, like after the baby's born, like 2 years from now or something. Like,
we told everyone we're gonna come back to LA and have a big party for everyone once we get back, and we never did that shit.
Really?
Yeah, it's a way to kind of get them off your back though. Like, we're gonna go to a small wedding. When we come back, we're gonna have a big, you know, reception with everyone. But
I do want to have friends come to the wedding and stuff. Like,
whatever you want to do, man. We wanted something small.
I like your idea though, the Costa Rica thing, because that way it's a vacation.
I don't know why it stresses us out thinking, who do we invite? Who do we not invite? Who do we have stand in the wedding? You know, all those things. And instead of getting so stressful, and at first we wanted to get married in Thailand, where my wife's from, and we were like, it's kind of a burden to say, hey, I want you to come to my wedding, but you have to fly to Thailand, so it's going to cost you an excess amount of money. And so it became kind of stressful. Like, I want people to come, but then am I putting this – if one of my friends said, you know, we're getting married in wherever, Jamaica, Thailand, in a couple months, and I was broke, I'd be kind of – you know, it's like, fuck, dude, why couldn't you just get married down the street or something? So
right.
We didn't want to put that burden on anyone, and so we just said, screw it, man. Let's just go to Costa Rica, bring both our moms, and have it done. So
I don't know. People – a lot of – everyone is telling me, don't have a huge wedding, just have a big party. Just have a big part, but then what's the difference, really?
I don't know. Well, people enjoy the party a lot.
Yeah,
more,
I don't know.
The wedding's for you. The party's for them.
I know. I got to do all that stuff. So
I guess you beat the odds. Everybody was counting you out with her.
Oh,
you beat the odds.
Yeah, right. I know. Thank you. Thanks, TV. Appreciate that, man. I beat that. That's what you have to say. I beat the odds.
Because everybody was. Every time you mentioned like girlfriend with this one, they're like, Greg, Tyler, all these people, how long is it going to last?
No, Tyler was with me. Greg's a fucking idiot.
Well, Greg's an asshole.
Yeah, Greg's an asshole.
We love our asshole.
Yeah. So that's the big news.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. I got to figure out, like, when to get married and do all that stuff.
And then how soon can you start him in wrestling?
Yeah, that too. Or her.
Them.
Well, she thinks it's a boy because it's not painful and she hasn't thrown up or anything. But it's still early. So she thinks it's going to be a boy.
If he starts throwing right hooks, you'll know.
Yeah, so excited about. I'm like, it was funny because like the day after she told me, I'm like, did you feel a kick yet? She's like, no, that's not really the way it works. And then I have a whole bunch of new jokes about it too. So I'm excited about that.
I'm having a whole new lineup. For,
yeah, you're gonna have material for the next like 10 years.
Yeah.
Every day you're gonna get new.
Well,
shit.
The first day, like, she went to the doctor. They couldn't find the baby. I'm like, great, my baby's already an expert at hide and seek. It's been fucking, you know, 2 hours. So, but no, I'm excited about it. Excited to have this kid. Really, really pumped about it. So, that's my new news.
It gets more and more fun as the pregnancy goes along.
Really?
Absolutely, man. The closer it gets, the more exciting it gets.
Now, when do you stop having sex with your girl or start doing a doggy style? You got to do a doggy style,
man,
right?
I think you could pretty much go almost the whole pregnancy, you know, up until, you know, when they get really uncomfortable, the stomach becomes an issue. But yeah,
you're not worried about poking the baby in the head or anything?
No, I think it's completely safe.
Okay.
I think you're good, man.
It's like a Judd Apatow script all over again.
No, I heard.
I want him, the first thing he sees is my dick going in and out.
Oh, that was that in the Knocked Up?
Yeah.
So no, I'm excited. I got a bunch of new jokes about it. And it should be good. I have to figure out. I think we're gonna convert this room into the baby room, and then put the podcast room out there, and you know a bunch of stuff like that. And then I think we're gonna move too. We're probably gonna get a house.
Well, you both have places.
Yeah, we both have places, and she lives by, you know,
like Marina Del Rey.
Marina Del Rey, and I live here, so it's a lot to think about.
Yeah, you guys are far, man.
Yeah, a lot to think about, but. You know, I'm 38 years old. She's 25. I'm 38. So I'm getting, I'm not.
Look at you, man.
I know. Like, I'm going to be 50 by the time he's 12.
That's called a rhino, I think. I saw that on TMZ last night. Like the male equivalent to a cougar.
Is a rhino?
Well, I think they're trying to, you know, start that hashtag, but I'll be the first one to use the term. You're a rhino.
Thanks, Dick. I appreciate it. Now, Alan, I am concerned about you. I'll tell you why.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, you got a big fight coming up. This kid that you're fighting is tough. I've watched four of his fights, Bilal. He beat Steve Carl.
Steve Carl, yeah, he's beat some good names.
Steve Carl's a good fighter. Okay, you texted me last week going, Adam, when's your comedy show in Vegas? I want to bring my team. Don't be thinking about my comedy show, dude. As much as I want you to come to my show and I love you, you got a big fight ahead of you. This kid is undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
He's never lost. I mean, undefeated. And he's got everything to gain by beating you. He's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, absolutely.
So are we watching his stuff? Are we prepared?
Absolutely, man. No, I'm coming to this fight, man. I'm on a mission right now, man. Like, I mean, I feel like I'm leaving no stone unturned right now. And I've got just goals, man. I just I assess my goals daily, and I just I find my rhythm. Being at UFC 199 at the Forum recently, man, I was inspired being there. Just kind of watching a lot of guys that I train or I've trained with compete, and just, you know, sometimes you go to the live events and you absorb the energy, and it's kind of you absorb the energy of getting out there and being in the moment, and you see guys a perfect. Example of being in the moment. It's like a Cowboy Cerrone, man. He gets out there and yeah, they say he starts slow and sometimes lately he's been going into the cage a little bit earlier to get the feel for it. But whatever happens, man, start slow or start fast. Cowboy gets in there and he kind of finds his rhythm, man. He just goes and he just moves. You see him shooting takedowns, shooting, you know, his striking's always on point. And that's just how I've been feeling all camp, man. I kind of feel like this is my 7th fight in the UFC now. And although I have, you know, 20, 30 fights under my belt, you kind of pick up a rhythm in the UFC. You kind of get the feel for the lights, that you know, the media, the crowd. And I feel like I've got my rhythm in the UFC now. And I'm not banking that maybe he gets the UFC jitters. I'm not, but it is his first fight in the UFC. And I am somebody that I've fought a different level, the high levels of guys in the UFC. I've got my rhythm now. And, yeah, man, I'm coming to this fight. I'm on a mission. I'm looking to put him away. And I'm the guy trying to get into the top 15 rankings. He's already calling out the top 15 rankings. He hasn't fought a guy in the UFC yet. And I admit, man, he is a good guy. He's undefeated. He just came off of a big win over Steve Carl. He's a Titan fighting welterweight champ. But every guy says this, but this is truly how I feel. He's never fought anybody like me. He's fought guys that were high level like Steve Carl. He's fought guys that were decent strikers but not well-rounded. He's never fought anybody as well-rounded and athletic as me and that's been fighting on this level that I have. So I'm pumped about the fight, man. I am.
Here's my assessment of it. You're better than him everywhere, but he makes less mistakes. You understand?
Okay. Yeah. He's a rhythm fighter. I agree.
You're better than him. You're faster, stronger, better kickboxer, better grappler, better wrestler. But he takes no risks. Yeah. He's never been hurt in any of his fights, at least that I've seen.
Yeah. No, I agree, man. I don't think I've ever really seen him hurt or lose too many rounds. He kind of gets in his rhythm and he stays where he's comfortable.
So we just can't. If I were you, I just like just don't. You know, just win the fight. But you don't have to go guns a-blazing, fucking Rocky IV, Drago Rocky. You know what I'm saying?
I don't ever want to get hit. But I'm trying to find a happy medium from what advice you just gave me and then what I was saying about being in a rhythm. I want to go in there and just be in rhythm right away and fight my fight. But at the same time, man, you know, when I think about fights, I think about putting a guy away, and I think about what are people watching the next day on Facebook? They're watching my highlights. That's what I want them watching. I don't want them watching Allen got the W. I want them watching the highlight of the vicious KO, the liver shot, the head kick, the elbow, whatever I put on the guy. So yeah, that's what I dream about, man. I dream about putting guys away and doing fun, exciting stuff. But no, I agree, man. I agree. It's a pretty good assessment. He doesn't get in that much trouble because he fights pretty safe. You know, he's also been training. Speaking of fighting safe, he's been training at TriStar Gym a lot. You know, he's been strategizing with Zahabi, I believe, the head trainer over there. So he's kind of got that safe fighting. So I think he's going into this camp with Rufus Sport, which is kind of interesting because me and Duke are pretty close. We chat a lot whenever we see each other. We've fought.
Oh no, he's been there with Askren and Pettis at Rufus Sport.
Yeah, I think he's with them this camp. I think Duke might be cornering him, and so you know that'll be interesting. Me and Duke have I've fought one of his guys before. Since then, we've been pretty close, and so there'll be a lot of familiarity yeah. between us. So
no, I can't wait, man. And you know, Alan, you're the most exciting fighter. I think you're too exciting, to be honest, because you give me a fucking heart attack every time you fight, man. But and I'm excited. I'm excited that you're excited. And this is definitely not the fight, the same fight that you're going into against the Russian, where you just it just seemed like your eyes were just like you were like that, that stripper, like day shift stripper who doesn't want to be there.
yeah.
Just getting through the motions.
Yeah, no, that whole Tumanov, yeah, that whole fight, that whole camp, the whole thing was just kind of like a blur. It was just a foggy camp. I just kind of was no excuse, but I just wanted the year to be done with. I had fought like 5 times within a year and a half or a year and a quarter, and I just wanted to get it done with and go to Louisiana, celebrate my kid's birthday. Other things were on my mind. I wasn't in the zone like I am in this camp right now. So I'm coming off of a good fight in Australia.
Great fight.
And I've kept that momentum going into this fight. So
by the way, so CB has a big beef with Bilal Muhammad.
Why is that?
Because when he was on the podcast, he did an interview before his title fight with Carl, mm-hmm. and he was talking about that he trains with CM Punk and everybody's dogging Punk, but Punk gets the better of Askren in grappling and the better of Pettis in striking. and sparring.
There's no way.
And
there's
I called him delusional, and then supposedly he called me a faggot on Twitter. And then
Not exactly what happened.
That's what you told me.
No. He didn't call you a faggot. Number one.
That's what you told me at the night.
No. He didn't call you that. I didn't tell you that either.
Wait, he was on this podcast.
I wouldn't have said that. He was on this podcast. CB said that he was a very boring fighter because he had zero finishes and how many fights?
He has one finish, but either way, you know, bias aside, I think, like you said, Allen's better everywhere. This guy fights. To me, it seems like he's a smaller Richard Walsh because Walsh was a big guy, but you kind of ran through him. And once again, he has mostly decisions, one finish. I think if Allen keeps him at range, you know, if you're not going for risks, you're not getting the finish. So he's cruised to decisions. But other than Carl, he hasn't fought a lot of like named guys.
EJ Brooks, he's just pretty good.
But he kind of cruises. Allen's going to kind of get in his face, take it to him. Wherever he goes, he's better.
Did he fight EJ Brooks?
I don't think he did. No. I just looked at his record and he hasn't fought anybody that I've heard of.
Right.
And, you know, regardless of who he's fought, who he's fighting coming up, stepping from Titan and beating, you know, Steve Carl for the belt and the other guys that he's beaten to the UFC.
You fight Zane Kamaka? Was that who he fought?
That could be it, yeah.
Yeah.
The Hawaiian guy?
Yeah, Hawaiian guy. Yeah.
You're stepping in the UFC. That's a very steep gradient to be going up. And he's talking about, I want to be in the top 15. You never want to overlook anybody you're fighting, but going into the UFC facing Allen Jabbar, who's good everywhere. It's a dangerous fight for him. You know what? I don't hate the guy. I don't fucking dislike him. I just, that whole CM Punk thing was delusional.
By the way, if you're listening to this, Joe Jaggy, I want a CB Gold versus Bilal Muhammad face-off shirt. Now, by the way,
we do a press conference with him. I'll put him in his place.
Really? You gonna put him in his place?
I'll put him in his place.
All right. So, this fight is when? Thursday night?
Thursday night, yeah, so July 7th.
So it's the Fight Pass. It's on Fight Pass?
The whole card is on Fight Pass, yeah.
And it's Eddie Alvarez versus Dos Anjos.
Derek Lewis, Roy Nelson.
And then we also have Mitch Clark is on that card.
Yeah, Mitch Clark and Joe Duffy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It should be fun. When are you going to Vegas?
We leave Sunday, man. This Sunday we leave. And then I'm excited too for the new weigh-in rule is in effect for this fight. So we get to weigh in between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. officially on the scale.
They're only giving you guys 2 hours?
Well,
because 199 they gave them 4 from 10 to 2.
Yeah, we only have a small window, but I don't care. I'll wake up early, cut the weight, and then once it's official, we have all day to rehydrate, and then we go do like you know the televised weigh-in. But at that point, we've already rehydrated, so we should be a lot more recovered going into this fight.
Now, when you get to Vegas, are you going to train over there?
Yeah, for sure. You know, tapered training, just work on technique and stuff.
Are you done sparring?
I'm going to spar this Friday, but, you know, technical sparring. I've done all the hard work. Yeah, all the soreness, hopefully, and all that stuff is behind me now. Right now, it's just about polishing the weapons and everything, staying sharp, keeping the lungs expanded.
What do you weigh right now?
I'm probably, you know, 86 or something like that. I never get too big anyway.
You got 16 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, I used to walk around 190. You know, I've been leaning up last couple of days. So
are you feeling? I remember when I used to cut weight for wrestling. Like by the time I was like 5 out, you couldn't talk to me. I was irritable.
Yeah, was it a big cut? How much did you cut? You said
I was going from 150 to 34, but I'm 18 years old though too. I wasn't really mature about it and stuff like that. But it's every week. Do you get like that?
You know, I gotta say. Overall, I don't think I have a horrible weight cut. When I'm cutting the weight, I'm very unpleasant. You know what I mean? It's brutal. And I'm always thinking, God, you forget the fight before the fight. You forget how uncomfortable. Like after the fight, all you're talking about is fun stuff, when you win. But you never hear people talking, God, it was a brutal weight cut. Unless somebody had a really excruciating weight cut. But I never talk about that stuff. For me, it's kind of like, I heard Dominic Cruz say this before too, and I'm kind of the same way. He kind of enjoys the weight cut, he said. And I don't know if I particularly enjoy a weight cut, but it flips the switch in my head. It lets me know once I start eating and kind of saying no to certain things and not just splurging, and once I start putting a little less sugar in my coffee and only having one helping rather than two helpings, it puts my mindset in that focused mode. You know, I know that I'm doing something for a reason, and like I know that I'm fueling my body, putting fuel in my body rather than eating tasty food. So it begins the process of turning into the, you know, flipping that switch into fight mode. So I kind of like that part of it.
I hated it, man. And people, yeah. I was one of the reasons I quit. People would bump into me, and I want to fight them. I go to parties. People would be like, "Yo, spill a drink on me." It was like on.
Yeah.
You know, I had to like. Then I had to calm myself down. You become like a caged animal.
Yeah.
But I was doing it really bad. I wasn't like you, where there's like advanced now cutting, and you have trainers, right? You have professionals around you.
I mean, I do it all on my own. I kind of enjoy taking initiative, to be honest. I've always been like that. I you know, when it comes to how I eat, my weight cut, my 5-day water cleanse, the actual weight cut, you know, I do a half cut in the night before and a half cut in the morning. One of them's physical the night before, the day of the weigh-in, I do like a hot tub with Epsom salt, get rid of the last 5 pounds. And yeah, I kind of take the lead on that. I enjoy being in control. I don't like, you know, you see so many fighters and they're being dragged on the ground by their coaches and the coaches are yelling at them. And I feel like, man, they're not taking initiative. They want this fight. They want to be a professional athlete. They want to be a professional fighter. Like, get your ass up, cut the weight yourself. Don't make your coach go in there. And you see these coaches, Kenny Johnson, he goes in there and he cuts 20 pounds every fight with half the fighters because, you know, he's got to go in there and he's got to sit in the steam room next to him. He's credit card scraping the sweat off of him. He's albalining, you know, putting the albaline on the body. He's dragging him back in there. He's doing everything with him. So he's losing weight as well. And for me, it's like, no, man, that's my job.
You
know, if I need it, then I'm glad that you're there. But I enjoy taking the lead on that, getting it done myself like a professional.
Now let's talk about the Bellator fights. You watch them over the weekend?
Yeah, man.
So
yeah,
Rampage versus Ishii.
What the hell?
Personally, I thought Ishii won that fight. I thought he won round one and two. He lost round three.
I agree.
He dominated. I mean, look, if you take a guy down and you hold him for 4.5 minutes and you don't do that much damage, you're still winning the fight, in my thing. You're controlling the fight. He was landing some punches. I don't know what judge had Rampage in number one. Gave him round one. That was insane. I thought Ishii won. After the fight, Rampage said he hadn't trained for a year. He was playing video games, drinking beers the entire year.
Did he say that?
Yeah. So he said,
"Yo, first of all, when they announced him as the winner, he was as surprised as all of us. Yeah. But then immediately he went in like Rampage mode. He was like, 'I'm gonna be back. I'm going to train. You know, like I'm gonna get better.' But no, yeah, he definitely looks soft. And look, don't get me wrong, I love Rampage. The whole time I was screaming at the TV for him to get up and knock Ishii out. But look, he lost that fight. He lost rounds one and two. He came back and won the third. Like you said, some screwball gave it 30-27 at Rampage. And like, it's every time I watch Bellator, man, and like, this isn't Bellator's fault. This is the judges or the commission, but there's always some weird shit going on, bro. I mean,
it always is.
Is it
me? It becomes like professional wrestling.
Yeah.
They might as well go all out with have the lights go out and then one guy's just knocked out in the corner.
There's always weird call, a weird fight. Yeah, some weird shit going on.
I'm surprised that MMA doesn't have managers yet, like how wrestling does. You know, how they had like Bobby the Brain and Slick.
They kind of do, depending on who your cornerman is. Anybody who comes out with Matt Serra in your corner, that's a
him. I know, but I think it'd be funny to have the guy like pissing off the crowd and cursing off, or like a chick flash or tits or something, and then the one guy gets distracted. Bellator might as well go all the way. Like what EFN did that night, or what's it called?
EFN
did with the Fedor. Is what Bellator should be doing with the flying monkeys and the spiders.
Well, Ryzen has like this whole like introduction with the drums and the bringing the guys out, and that's what they did at Bellator the other night before the fights even started.
Yeah,
usually when Bellator comes on TV, it's like, okay, two guys are already in the cage, we're ready to go. This one was like, oh, and these two are fighting and they're gonna square off for the 900th fucking time.
They
all stand on the stage. And you know, I don't remember hearing Lenny Hart there. I know she was at the first Dynamite. I don't know if she did the second, but Ryzen's the same way. Pride used to be the same way.
Yeah.
They do like the whole theatrics. Metamorphosis is like that too.
They should definitely get more into that. As far as the card itself, so the Rampage, look, I like Rampage. Who doesn't like Rampage? You know, but
Vanderlei
at this point in his career, I don't want to see him skating by people.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not going to go out there and give it your best, and if you do lose or if you do win, don't tell everyone that you've been drinking beers and playing video games for the past year, because why do I want to go support this?
Right.
I mean, luckily it's free and I'm not paying for it. But if I had to pay for this, I definitely wouldn't want to.
Yeah, no, it takes away the big draw quality of it. Absolutely. I mean, you're not going to go like you said it, man. You said it. You're not going to pay big money. You're not going to, you know, go out of your way to watch a fight. for somebody who, like you said, who they're just kind of skating by and they're not really in 100% training. They're not making you believe that this is the next biggest fight. But if it's free on TV, you're like, oh shit, Rampage is on. Yeah, we're going
right.
to tune in.
But it's like me saying, hey, come to my comedy show, you know, pay $20 and then I'll whip out my notebook and be like, oh, let me see what the, oh, this joke's kind of good. I fucking wrote this on the way to the stage. It's like, no, I like, you guys deserve a show. You deserve, the reason why I'm going to fucking, you know, hostels and doing bar shows and doing shitty fucking, you know, barbecues and everything else is so that when people pay, they see a fucking great show. Mm. It's like me saying, I'm not going to practice. I'm not going to get up. I'm not going to perform. I'm not going to work on my jokes. And go here, pay $30. Go out of your night. Cancel whatever plans. Come see me. Take out a fucking notebook and just wing it. And that's not cool, especially when you know how good Rampage could be. It's one thing if that was the best he can do. And beating Ishii, even coming that close, the fact that he can do that and not train shows you how talented Rampage is.
Yeah.
Because imagine if he actually trained. I'll tell you who I felt great for was Michael Chandler. I've been a fan of Michael Chandler forever. You know, it was just one of those things where when he fought Will Brooks, it's like everyone has that one guy or that's just – it's really awkward for you to fight. And for Michael Chandler, that was Will Brooks. Mm-hmm. Will was just that tall, athletic, awkward guy. And that second fight against Will Brooks when Chandler was out on his feet and – basically turned around and like walked into the cage and was like,
I was there.
I mean, that was one of the
second row cage.
That was one of the scariest moments I've ever seen in MMA.
I didn't know what the hell was going on. I was second row and I'm like, what is he doing? He got hit. He turned around and then he was like in a corner against, you know, like the vertical pad they put in the corners. And he's just like standing there kind of like lackadaisical. And then all of a sudden crack. And he just,
it was like he was out on his feet. And then he came to and realized it was a huge black guy punching him in the face and was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Like, he doesn't remember it. It's one of the things he like didn't remember it. And after that, you're like, man, is this guy gonna recover? And watching him knock out Pitbull was awesome. Although
I think it had to do with the porn stash too.
I said it was like the Super Mario Brothers. Although I don't never understood like him challenging the brother to a fight.
145 Pitbull.
Because he's 10 pounds lighter.
That was a little strange. At first,
the 45 pound brother challenged him after he knocked out the 55 pound.
Yeah, he jumped over the cage and Patricio Pitbull was like talking shit to him or whatever. And I'm like, who's he fucking yelling at? And my friend who I was watching with was like, he's yelling at the other Pitbull. I'm like, they both grew porn stashes.
Yeah, they're strange.
It was weird. You know, I like Michael Chandler. I trained with him every day for 3 years at Extreme Couture. The guy is unbelievable. A lot of fights, you know, he got hurt, then he lost, or he got hurt and came back. It was so awesome to watch him do that. And, you know, he just switched camps, for this fight. He was at Extreme Couture with me, then he went to Alliance, then he went to Power MMA, now he's at the Black Zillions. And I love his post-fight interview. He's like, you know, I had to follow my old coach, Neil Melanson. Melanson's a jiu-jitsu coach, and there was no jiu-jitsu in that fight.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was kind of funny. But I was so happy for Chandler.
Yeah, Chandler's the guy that I think, you know, put him in the UFC, he'll do really well against top 10 guys, even top 5 guys.
Tough guy, man. Tough guy. And he's built, man. He's like a ball of muscle, man. He's guy's athletic and built and explosive. And, I mean, he's a power wrestler. Like, he's got that power wrestling, but man, he's explosive. That right hand was so quick. Even when they slowed it down, you could barely see it land. I mean, it was right on the chin.
Yeah, he came to my show. He's got a hot wife too.
Yeah,
super hot wife.
All got hot wife.
And he seems like a nice family guy, though. I like it when I see these guys that like unheralded guys. Like Michael Chandler is a perfect example of a guy who doesn't talk shit, who doesn't like get in Twitter wars, doesn't really get into like open his mouth. Just a fighter. And you know, the problem with that though is that no one knows who he is, really. I mean, he's probably he's the champion. He's the champion of Bellator. But if you walk down the street, no one knows who he is. Now, Bubba Jenkins, I think, beat him 4 times in wrestling in college. So I would like to, but no, Bubba's at 145.
Bubba said he would go up.
Yeah,
though.
But that would be a good fight. I would like to see Bubba versus Chandler.
I just think for Bubba, I think Chandler's got
too many weapons.
Much power.
We'll see.
I think the wrestling, it would be very fun to watch. I think Chandler's jiu-jitsu is better. And I don't know if I think that Chandler has more punching power than Bubba. And we've seen Bubba, you know, take some strikers before and do well. But at the same time, it'd be a great wrestling match. I think in MMA, it would also be very, very close. But You never know, man. It's going to be fun.
I would like to see it. And then the other fight that, would like you said, was weird when Bellator was Matt Mitrione.
And Sumana Tafa.
Because, you know, first of all, the guy who he fought was living in a homeless shelter a week before.
Really?
Yeah, the guy, like, the guy had a really hard time. But I think he won. I mean, Mitrione.
Man, yeah, if he gave Mitrione too much respect almost. Like, what, he dropped him and followed him to the mat, and then he hit him behind the head. And I think Big John was the ref, and Big John warned him, don't hit behind the head. And so, like, instead of just, like, continuing to pepper in the face, he, like, readjusted his position and then, like, was trying to really make it clear that he wasn't hitting behind the head. And he let Mitrione recover. Then he, like, went instead of grappling with him.
Well, he's a brown belt under Jake Shields, the guy.
The guy?
Yeah.
Man, I just felt like all he needed was, like, two or three more punches and Mitrione would have stayed out, or, you know, the ref would have stopped him. But, like I said, he took that warning too hard and he went and, like, repositioned and let him recover.
Now, I don't think this was the case because it was Big John. And Big John, as far as I know, and knowing Big John, is as real as they come, honest as they come, is got a lot of character. But if it was another ref and I saw that fight, I would have assumed that Bellator said, don't stop this fight until the guy's fucking dead. Because we just gave Matt Mitrione a fucking $300,000 and, we need him to be a Bellator star. I don't think that was the case with
No, not at all. And honestly, like, as an active fighter, like, I know my refs decent enough to know that, like, well, I know that when John is reffing me, I know that if I get somebody hurt, I stay on him because he's a guy that leans towards being safer rather than letting it go. Somebody like Herb Dean, even though he's hit or miss sometimes with the stoppage, he leans towards letting guys take more punishment in my mind. But yeah, with Big John, I've lost before where I thought I could have kept going, but he stopped early, and I kept that in my mind. And then, and other times when I fought with Big John refereeing me, and I hurt the guy, he stepped in right away. And when I felt like I could have, you know, pounced on a guy a little bit more. So yeah, Big John normally in my eyes leans towards being more cautious, and he gave Matt Mitrione a lot of time.
You think that fight could have been stopped or should have been stopped?
No, man. I mean, like, if the guy would have landed two more shots and put Mitrione completely out, yes. But like I said, once he warned him about the headshot and then the guy completely stopped putting damage on Mitrione, Mitrione started recovering. And so, no, I mean, it could have been like, you know, a ref could have stopped it, but I don't think the fight went too long at all.
You?
I think it was a missed opportunity from the other fighter, if anything.
I think, you know, with Carl Sumana Tafa, I think they were looking at him like, we need to feed Matt Mitrione somebody that's going to give him. Because when they announced that fight and they're like, before the whole Will Brooks leaving, Chandler Pitbull title fight took co-main, Mitrione was co-main. And I looked at, and they announced it, and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? They couldn't get any like heavyweight they already had under contract to come in. So I thought, you know, okay, Mitrione's going to run through him. I was watching that fight, like, this dude's sacrificial lamb. They want him.
So everyone thought
towards
that.
The title, because Minnikov's been stripped now. And I was shocked when Sumana Tafa just cracked him early. And I'm like, oh, shit. Here we go again with Mitrione, man. Here we go again. And, you know, it was – I agree with you. You know, he warned him, and then he got a little nervous, and he kind of moved over and was, like, throwing little shots, and then, like – kind of grappling a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then the ending was just like, all of a sudden they switch positions, the legs go out of the way, crack, Mitrione wins. I think it could have been stopped for Sumana Tafa to win.
Yeah, no, I mean, looking at what happened, I'm happy they didn't stop it because of what happened. At the same time, it was crazy. That was one of the crazy.
He didn't capitalize on it, but how about Mitrione? You get fucking knocked out, come back, win your fight, and then commentate on like, and then do commentary on a kickboxing fight the same night. Yeah, he got up and got in a suit and did an interview and then commentated the Joe Schilling fight and everything.
The Joe Schilling fight, by the way, you know, Joe Schilling, I think might be his own worst enemy. I remember seeing him a couple times in public smoking cigarettes, you know, which I remember thinking to myself, like, all right, it's a little weird. You know, this guy, you're a kickboxing champion, you were a champion or whatever it is. Like, probably smoking cigarettes isn't the best thing you could be doing right now. But I think that that's just Joe Schilling. He seems to be like this kind of rebel, you know, free spirit guy who does whatever he wants to do. And I felt like I felt bad for him because he beat a guy that he clearly was better than.
Yeah.
because he didn't really respect him. But why would you not respect a guy who knocked you out? Mm-hmm. Granted, he knocked you out with 4-ounce gloves versus bigger gloves. It was a different sport. But still, Joe Chilling had his hands down, clearly not, you know, giving this guy any credit. And then that spinning back fist was amazing. But
it was so short,
you know,
they were like in a phone booth, and then
it's like, it's just, well, the thing that sucks for Joe is it's kind of like, where does he go from here? Because, you know, he's competed pretty much in everything. I mean, he competed in Lion Fight. I think he told Lion Fight, F you. He competed in Glory. I was there at his Glory fight. I mean, he was on the ropes, pretty much saying F you literally to everybody. So I think he's done with Glory. Now he's in, obviously in Bellator and, losing to the same guy twice. Yeah, it's tough. It's kind of like, where does he go if he's closing doors, or, you know, with two losses and this one? But yeah, he, like you said, man, you kind of summed it up. He's kind of that rebel. I think they said, even when he did the Glory tournament, a couple years back at the Forum, I was over there, and they said, like, he made it, he won two fights, I believe. He knocked out Simon Marcus, and then he had a break before he went to the finals, and he went outside and smoked a cigarette before his third fight or whatever. So, yeah, that's just him, man. He's kind of got that cut from a different cloth, that old school mentality.
It's kind of funny. I mean, I remember I used to be a big fan of Ricardo Mayorga, and he used to drink beers after his boxing matches in the ring and smoke cigarettes in the ring. And if that's your thing, that's your thing. I don't know, if I was a fighter, I would want to give myself every advantage that I could give myself.
Well, I think it's just, Joe said it before the fight, and I kind of agree and disagree with this, but he said, you know, there's athletes and then there's fighters, and he's a fighter. And that's why, and I get it, he's a fighter, he has that fighter mentality where he's always going to look to knock you out, always put on a show, and if he wants to say, fuck it, I'm going to smoke a cigarette or have a beer, you know, I'm a fighter, I'm going to do it either way. And so that's why I think that's the mentality that he had, that's why he goes by it. In my opinion, yeah, there's athletes, there's fighters, but then in this day and age, especially more so in MMA, there's athletic fighters. I mean, you see it. You see
Tyron Woodley,
entire team, Alpha, I mean, everything. I'm not just saying an athletic fighter, but I'm saying there are athletes that could have been professional athletes in any other sport, but they had a fighter's heart. They had something burning inside of them, and they chose fighting. So they're not just an athletic guy who's fighting, but they're a fighter. They're a born fighter who also has athletic abilities, just like other professional athletes. And that's what MMA's evolved to these days.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I'm a fan of Joe Schilling. I like the way he is. I want to see him win.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want
to
see.
It's entertaining.
Him.
I mean, that fight was like, he went right away and brought it to him. But I agree, man. I felt that he lost the small glove fight. He lost the MMA fight. This is his opportunity to pick him apart. And although he was picking him apart up until he got caught, he kind of left the door open, you know, to be countered, because he was just saying, fuck it, I'm going to bring it to this guy. When I felt like, man, he should have just kind of smoothed out the victory and just, you know, kind of point fought him, you know, kickboxed him. But that's Joe being the fighter, just saying, fuck it, I'm going to just take this guy's head off.
Are you an athletic fighter?
I think I'm the athletic fighter, because I've been a fighter my whole life. But I know that if I focus my attention on different sports, I probably could have made it at least to a high level, and maybe another sport, soccer or football or something like that. But fighting is what drew me to it.
Now, Chael Sonnen said today that said, that Mark Hunt is going to kill Brock Lesnar.
I just saw that.
he said that, you know, everyone says how great of a wrestler he was. He goes, yeah, he won the NCAAs because he had a 40-pound weight advantage on the other guys. He goes, name a wrestler that wouldn't win if wrestling was 40 pounds heavier. He's also saying he hasn't fought in 5 years or 4 years. And Mark Hunt was ranked in the top, almost the number one contender a couple years back.
Mm-hmm. He was the number one contender.
Was the number one contender. And I feel the same way. I just don't see. I know that you think that Brock is just going to double leg him and ground and pound him, but who has he ever done that to? And it's not like Hunt doesn't know that's what he's going to do. And that uppercut from hell, I mean, he knocks like guys that have never been knocked out before with uppercuts. I mean, Brock, it seems like, you know, doesn't have the greatest chin. And doesn't like to be hit.
Nobody wants to be hit by Hunt, but especially. I would say maybe 4 or 5 years ago, there was that opportunity for Lesnar to just run at him and double leg him. Just like, not even technique, just fucking push him on the cage and get on top of him and then hammer fist the fuck out of him. But I'm just kind of curious to see, like, it's like you said, it's been however many years, 5 years since he's fought. He's older now. What is Lesnar? Is he late 30s now?
He's like close 60 to 40 or something.
He's 60. Okay, he's 60.
I think he's young 40s.
But he's approaching young 40 40s, at least, yeah. or 40. does he have that explosive ability that he used to have? Because you used to get in the ring 5 years ago, and you were like, fuck, how can this 275-pound man,
38,
move like a 205-er? And that's what shocked everybody. But it's been 5 years, and he hasn't been training.
We're talking about pre-diverticulitis. Brock was a different animal. This guy, the guy who beat Frank Mir the second time, was mean, was angry, hated life, chip on his shoulder.
Carwin, Heath Herring, Randy.
Yeah, but then he came back and he like found Jesus when he almost died. It was like in Major League 2 when Joe Boo wasn't Joe Boo anymore. Remember the black guy?
Joe Boo from Major League?
Remember he came back and he wasn't this mean asshole anymore.
That
he
was
like
awesome.
He loved everybody.
They brought him some fried chicken.
Yeah,
and,
and that's what Brock it was. He was like this nice guy that like had like a near-death experience and it changed his life.
Yeah.
Not the same Brock Lesnar. I mean, Frank Mir was sitting right here, and he said that. Right here you're sitting.
Well, I think if nothing else, Hunt's not going to be going for body kicks because that's just not in his repertoire.
Okay.
So that's at least like a plus for Brock to not have his diverticulitis and stomach explode.
Okay, but who's ever knocked down Hunt with a punch?
Who's ever knocked him down?
Or knocked him out with a punch. I mean, with kicks, people have knocked him out.
With a punch?
Yeah.
Melvin Manoff.
Okay, in the last 10 years.
30 years ago.
I mean, the guy's got such a chin. And Brock doesn't really – I mean, yeah, he knocked down Randy, but he had a 50-pound weight advantage. And Randy was like 60 back then.
He rocked the fuck out of Herring.
Okay, that was pre – stomach aids, Brock. Okay?
You don't have to convince me. I'm going to have my opinion until the fight ends.
But you're saying pre-disease or whatever.
He always had the disease.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you could look at it the other way, where like he was fighting the whole time with that problem, and now he doesn't have the problem, so maybe he's functioning better.
And a lot of people think he got that thing from taking too many steroids. That's not true. That's what Mir was saying.
That's not how you get diverticulitis.
But he was saying,
I can't even say that word.
To break something that I haven't really told many people, I have diverticulitis.
Really?
So I know how it works.
How do you have it?
I don't fucking know. But
hang
I have
out
it.
With Brock?
I wish. If I hung out with Brock and I got it.
Now,
but I always used to say, you know.
He said it so well. It rolled off of his tongue.
This guy.
Like, how can he say it so well?
So CB actually is the biggest Brock Lesnar fan. He's the only guy he's not taking a picture with.
Micro Crow Cup, too.
And Crow Cup.
Is that part of the reason?
So.
Because you guys share something.
No.
I'm serious. You're relatable, you know?
No, I've been a pro wrestling fan for almost 25
years.
But
when you found out he had that, I used to
tell people. So here's the funny thing. I used to tell people, like, years ago, I'm like, you know, it's funny. Brock's my favorite fighter in the world, and somehow I contracted the same fucking thing that ended his fighting career.
That's crazy because Magic Johnson is my favorite basketball. No, now the thing is that you, CB, is not going to UFC 200, which is shocking to me, or to your fight.
I have responsibilities.
Now that Brock might be there, you're thinking about.
No, I can't go.
Really?
I can't go.
All right. Would you rather? Okay.
Oh, here we go again.
Okay. Would you rather have? Okay. The 10 hottest girls in the world blow you in a row, right? Okay.
Well, can we like separate it into 10 days?
Because
by like
days.
Number four, I'd be like, get off of me.
Yeah. Your waist.
Yeah.
Get
like
off
10 days.
Of me.
Or.
And what if nine of them suck horribly at blowjobs?
No, it doesn't matter. They're all amazing at blowjobs. All right. Or you hang out with Conor McGregor for the entire day, or hang out with Brock Lesnar for the whole day. What would it be?
Wait, Conor and Brock are two different choices?
Two different choices, yeah.
Conor.
Really?
Yeah.
Then get 10 blowjobs. The hottest chicks in the world.
We're
talking even.
So here's the thing, yeah. that irrelevant.
All right.
Number one, Brock doesn't like people.
Yeah.
So what would I be doing hanging out with him? Fucking lifting 300-pound logs over my shoulder and running up a mountain? No thanks. I'll take my picture. Nice to meet you. I'm a huge fan. Thank you.
So you thought this out?
It kind of ruined.
I just thought it out.
Yeah.
He hates public.
Okay.
The 10 hottest girls. Okay, cool. But I have just as much of a shot as getting those girls with Connor.
Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't.
Are you fucking...
No, you can't hang out with the girls. It's just you and Connor locked in a room.
Connor could get a lot of fucking girls.
All right. Would you rather bang, okay...
I love this.
Bang
this,
Pamela this is... Anderson in her prime, right? In her prime.
Is that pre-hepatitis?
Yeah, pre-hepatitis.
I don't want Tom... Actually, no, because right, I don't want Tommy Lee's dick anywhere near me.
Pre-hepatitis, Pamela Anderson, before Tommy Lee, all right? Or smell McGregor's dick.
Why the fuck would I even contemplate smelling McGregor's
dick? No, I'm just saying, what would you rather do?
Is there a third choice?
No, there's just those two choices.
I don't really want Pam Anderson. That's
you rather smell McGregor's dick?
No, I don't want to smell his dick either. That's why I'm asking for a third choice.
There's only two choices.
I love the tweets I get after these podcasts are released because it's the most ridiculous shit ever.
So you're
going
to smell McGregor's dick over hanging
out? No, I didn't say. I said I wanted a third choice.
No, you don't get. You can't get a third choice.
Fine, then I'll take Pam Anderson. But if I get hepatitis, I'm coming for you.
You would take Pam Anderson. That would be the only fucking choice. I'll take it.
Why would I want to smell it? Why would I want to be anywhere near his cock?
Hottest woman in the world.
How random is that? Wrong with you?
I don't know. The fact is, you have to think about it. All right. So speaking of smelling dicks, okay, we are going to call Hector Lombard right now.
I think every time I've ever been on this podcast, by the way, we've called Hector Lombard. Right, so
better than calling Don Fry 4 weeks in a row and leaving him voicemails.
Oh, yeah.
That was so funny, dude. I can't believe you're going to smell his dick.
Yeah, because that's what I fucking said.
640 viewers just now watched that.
You say this shit that I didn't even agree to, like after I've already told you my decision of Pam Anderson, just to get an onslaught of fucking barrage of people later to come fuck with me.
Oh, it's gonna be funny, dude. Come on,
it's funny for you.
It's funny.
I gotta see all these tweets
about you smelling Gregor's dick.
Luckily, my fucking family is blocked on Twitter.
By the way, were you at that fight with Hector got Dan Henderson?
Yeah,
that was hard to watch.
Crazy, man. Crazy.
I didn't see that coming. I mean, actually, during the fight, I go to Bubba and I'm like, "Why is Hector fighting this way? The only way he could lose right now is by standing in front of Dan Henderson." And then 3 seconds later. But it's got to be so frustrating for Hector, because it's one thing to lose a fight, just go out there, just get dominated. But to like Neil Magny and Hendo, he was killing. It wasn't just beating. I mean,
But there's a big difference in opponents between Neil Magny and Dan Henderson.
I think Neil Magny's better right now.
Just stylistically, I mean, it's the completely opposite fighters, but yeah.
So we tried calling Hector Lombard, and he didn't pick up. So maybe we'll have him on later this week. By the way, Jake Ellenberger, it says he's coming on this week. He's got a big fight coming up against Matt Brown.
What day?
He's saying Thursday. That's the word on the street.
Jake, you better show up. I've been bringing shit for you
Matt
every
Brown
fucking
in Atlanta.
Time.
Atlanta. I was thinking about doing a show in Atlanta the night before at like a bar and then going to that fight, because I would like to
201?
Yeah. I'd actually like to say, I'd like to see that. I think he's got a shot against Matt Brown. Call me crazy. Everyone thinks he's going to get killed. I'm like... Yeah, Jake's one of those guys, man. Like, he has that power.
Yeah, and he's, look, no doubt, he's lost a lot of fights lately, but none of the guys he lost to were slouches. I mean, everybody he's fought was, like, you know, ranked in the top 10.
So. Jake?
And every, yeah. and you know, the fights he's lost, okay, he lost to Robbie Lawler. All right, lost to Robbie Lawler. All right, he was actually hurt Robbie for a second, and then he got stopped. Right.
Stephen Thompson, he dropped Stephen Thompson.
Dropped Stephen Thompson.
No one ever dropped Stephen Thompson. So
hurt Tarek, and then didn't finish.
Yeah.
And then the Kelvin Gastelum was the one where he just had like a brain fart. Yeah. But he trained with Edmund for that fight, so I'm excusing everything there. But yeah, Matt Brown. I mean, look, on paper, Matt Brown should win this fight, but Jake Ellenberger knows that if he loses, he's getting cut.
You think?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he knows that.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure he knows that you can't lose four to five.
He's been close for a while.
So he's got everything he's got nothing to lose, and he's dangerous. It's just a matter of, I know he's training hard. He's actually got a new camp. He's not with Edmund anymore. He's been going to King's, and he's been going to Benny's new gym, and supposedly things are looking really good for him. Have you ever sparred with Jake?
I don't know if we've sparred. He used to come in the Black House now and then. He was training with my teammate, James Muntasri, in preparation for the Stephen Thompson fight. He wanted a guy that moved kind of like that. And so he was coming now and then. But, yeah, like I said, he's had a lot of losses, but I kind of felt like the UFC were kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt because of the guys, because Jake was a former top 15 guy prospect, and then he's losing the guys that are becoming champions or number one prospects. So I feel like they were, you know, letting him, even though he had three losses, it's different losing to the top five guys in the world, you know, on three losses in comparison. It's, you know, no names. So, but yeah, I he does have his back against the wall. I agree.
Now, I remember you were actually telling me, I was talking to you. I'm like, yo, when are you getting the, are you going to fight for this title or some bullshit? And then I was like, you know, fucking with you. But you were saying, me and my management, we have we really carefully mapped out my road to the title.
Yeah.
And then you hit that Russian dude.
Yeah.
And now, how much did that throw you off or make you reassess her?
It was like a bump in the road. After that, it was go to Australia, put on a great performance. I got that performance, my rebound out of the way. I showed the fans that, it was just, I had a bad night. And then it's just more about how do you rebound after that? You know, how do you come back? And I did that. Now, this fight right here, I plan on doing the same thing, putting this guy away, doing a brilliant performance. That way I could get that top 15 fight on my next fight. So that is my goal, man. With a win here, being fighting a top 15 guy at the next fight.
Now, being married and knowing how much pussy you can get, being a Versace model, being in the UFC, how many do chicks hit you up on? Do girls DM you on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook?
Yeah, I get it now and then, but
Do you show your wife and say, look, just, this is what's approaching
sometimes,
me?
Sometimes.
Really?
Sometimes.
And what does your wife say?
Because, you know, my wife loves, women love that shit, you know? Like, when guys get it, we can't brag about that because we'll be in the doghouse. But girls, my wife loves to tell me how all the guys were talking to her at the gym every day. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah. Girls love that stuff. So,
so then you go, oh, really? Well, look at this.
Yeah, fucking... Check out these nudes that I got today. But no, so we can't really compare apples to apples. Otherwise, I'd be in a doghouse.
So you don't tell her?
No. Yeah. I don't respond to any of it. Yeah.
Now, because I'm going to get married and I'm thinking about, you know, having the same vagina the rest of my life, which is it's an amazing vagina. It's the best I've ever had. But I just didn't, like, how do you deal with this? Like, help.
how do you deal with having the same vagina? Is that the question? Like you said, hopefully it's the best vagina you've ever had, and then it won't be an issue.
Do you put a wig on your wife or anything, or no? You don't.
No. We keep it real.
Nice.
I think you just need to kind of tell yourself, you know, I made the right decision. I got the best of what's out there, and just keep telling yourself.
Self-motivate.
That.
Yeah.
Like, I got the best of what's out there and what's not out there. I just got the best, right? The best of what's out there makes it seem like there's still better out there.
No.
Sort of.
No, you just got the best and you made the right decision for your life.
No, I'm super happy. Honestly, I totally am. Alan, no one probably gets approached by more girls than you. Mm. So if you can do it,
I think my Versace is actually finally coming out too in July. So sometime after my fight, that should be released. So that'll be fun, man. That'll be interesting to see, you know, how big that is.
Right. So there's
a fight that we discussed last show that actually got announced, and everybody's so excited about it.
CM Punk?
No, fuck Punk.
What?
Fucking. I called Rowdy Beck's fight.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah,
Paige VanZant.
Yeah, we had Rowdy Beck on the podcast.
That shit was so awesome.
She said that some bitch was. Some bitch better sign the contract, right?
And you said, is she fighting top 10?
And then you said, why did you say Paige VanZant?
Because you had me look at the top 10 because you're having her call out or who we think. And I was looking and I didn't see her top 10. I'm like, all right, who's a decent fight, not matched up and not too high? And I was looking at it and I'm just thinking, she's fighting PVZ.
I think Beck wins this all day.
I do too. Yeah. I do. I think Beck could knock her out on the feet.
Yeah, I mean, I think Beck probably hits harder than Rose. Rose probably
punches harder.
Punches harder. Rose is a more complete fighter than Rowdy Beck. But you know, I think that Beck needs to. I think she needs to come to Alliance to train. Mm. I don't think she should do her training in Australia. And I think that's probably.
No, I think she's definitely going to be in Alliance.
I think that's probably hard for her because her two kids and stuff. But I think.
Oh, she has two kids?
She has two kids. Wow. And I think that Alliance has some good girls. They have Jessica Penne. They got Magana. They got that girl, Paulina. I know that what's her name trains over there.
You got Angela Hill.
Angela
you got Christine
Hill,
Stanley.
Christine Stanley.
And then you got all the guys.
But then you also have the other girl. I think is I don't know if she's there or not. What's her name? The kickboxer champion.
Tiffany Van Soest.
Yeah, Tiffany Timebomb.
I think she's over there too. Yeah.
So. Yeah, well, not really. I mean, she's always traveling the world, dude. She's always in like Dubai or something.
She's smoking hot, that Tiffany Timebomb.
Yeah, she's my management. has her as well, and she's always like, I think she lives in Dubai or some shit, like someplace far.
Yeah. So, but there's a lot of girls at Alliance, and I think Dominic Cruz does a really good job connecting with them. I think he's a really good coach for them. He's a smaller guy, and I think that a 135 pound guy is probably a good trainer for a 115, 135 pound girl. You know, it just it seems like that's it's like anything it's else. It's just like, you know,
relatable. Yeah, yeah. I just like. What's that quote that Joe Rogan has where he says, you know, if you want to learn real technique, you get a jiu-jitsu coach who's, you know, a 135 pound, a smaller size, an average size man, because they're going to teach you real technique, you know, how to get away from the big, how to out technique the bigger guy. You don't want to get a heavyweight jiu-jitsu right. coach and he's showing you strength moves all day, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. So, I think that Beck has that. I think it's a fun fight. I think that, what's her name got kind of exposed in her last fight.
Paige.
I think they carefully matched her up. I was surprised Felice didn't win. I don't think she fought the best Felice. When she fought Astro Girl, I never thought Astro Girl was really,
Paige?
Yeah. A top tier girl.
No, she's kind of old.
Who, too. Astro Girl?
Yeah, Alex Chambers.
And then Paige has impressive movement though, man. She moves. She's so athletic the way she moves, man.
She's very tough.
Yeah.
Tough girl,
oh, fuck,
athletic
yeah.
girl, mm-hmm. but I don't know if she's and I think her background's karate, I believe, but I just feel like Beck is a fucking down and dirty, you know.
I think a lot of it with this matchup, Paige's first two, you know, Felice, she was taking her down and kept taking her down and grinding her and grinding her and grinding her. Alex Chambers, if I remember correctly, was kind of the same thing, and then you're looking at a girl like Rose. It's like you could take her down, but she's really good off her back, but you don't want to stand with her because she's a very unorthodox striker. Rowdy's got good jiu-jitsu, but her punches and her combos, like the way she was lighting up her last opponent was just – it was brutal to watch. So I think on the feet, you know, Paige has to go for a takedown, hope she can get it. If it stays on feet, she's going to get punched in the face, lumped up. And it's a tough fight for Paige, and it's a tough fight for her to come back. She's got all this star power now.
Also, Paige unfollowed me on Twitter. And that's a
unfollowed that, you?
Yeah, unfollowed me.
She also turned down WWE's offer.
She was following me, then she unfollowed me. I asked her to come on the podcast. She told me to talk to her manager. Her manager respectfully declined. It was some bullshit. And the other girl, Beck, comes on the show every fucking week and is a friend. So
it's an easy one for you.
It's yeah, I gotta go for Beck on that. Like I can't stand when I there's been like three people that have ever really turned down the podcast out of all, and we're talking about guys who've been on the podcast. I've had Chris Weidman on like five times, Rockhold on, Alan on, Faber has been on, Hendrix has been on, Chael has been on.
Everybody.
Everybody's been on. And,
we
Gene,
need to get some Brazilians.
Gene Herrera's manager didn't want him on.
Gian Herrera?
Yeah, yeah, Gian Herrera.
Really?
Yeah, Gian wanted to come on, but some woman that was managing him was like, yeah, he's not ready. She wanted to come on with him.
Would she possibly be married to Division Ribeiro?
No, she was just wanted to come on with him, and I said, no, we're not having the manager on, too. And because then what's going to happen is, then after the podcast, she's going to call me and tell me what to take out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to deal with that.
We've got the guy that nobody can get in a studio. Jason Mayhem Miller.
We had Mayhem on
twice.
Yeah, twice. So I don't know. To me, when a person says talk to my manager, I'm almost like, you know, you're not getting paid for these podcasts. It's just some people talking.
Mm-hmm.
We're just talking, and we're just promoting. We're just promoting you. It's like fucking A, man. But I get it, you know. And look, you can't knock Paige's management team. I mean, they got her on the fucking Dancing with the Stars. I mean, she's a legitimate star. She's doing really good shit, and she probably has a future in, you know, if she could, I don't know if she can act, but, you know.
She got offered WWE and turned it down.
And that was a mistake.
Turned it down?
Yeah, they offered her, because they're doing the talent exchange that Brock's going mm-hmm. over to the UFC. They were talking about there was three people. It was Connor, who they could pay. They got enough money to get him. Rhonda, who has voiced, I want to do it again. That's possibly WrestleMania 32 or 33. She'll be involved. And they wanted to get PVZ for SummerSlam this summer. And I guess in the last few days, her and her management team decided that she doesn't want to do that. It's not the best decision. And so they turned down WWE.
Well, I give her a lot of credit for doing that. However, you know,
you're going to get a lot of faces knowing who you are and a lot of money doing it.
I don't know how great of a fighter she is, though. That's the thing. Like, I think she's a good fighter. She looks like, I mean, she's won most of her fights, but,
at the same time, though, she was kind of one of those that, and I'm not saying this for myself, so don't Twitter attack me, everyone, but she was one of the four that people were calling Dana's protected.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, they fed her to Rose, and then it's like, well, that's another one bites the dust.
Northcutt,
Connor, and Rowdy, Rhonda.
By the way, Connor said he's going to tool Nate Diaz next time.
Connor's training with – he brought in Dylan Danis to work at jiu-jitsu. And Dylan Danis is a very, very established jiu-jitsu player, black belt under Marcelo Garcia, which is not an easy thing to get.
Oh, is he better than Cesar Gracie?
Is he better than Cesar? No, I'm not saying he's better, but it's like, you know, Connor brought in a guy that's very, very established, done Metamoris, and Dylan's saying he has good jiu-jitsu. I mean, look, you're going to hear shit from both sides of who's better when it comes to August 20th or whatever.
Is he going to tool Nate Diaz? He's going to lose to Nate Diaz, I think.
I don't know if he's going to tool him. Do I think he's going to lose?
I saw Nate Diaz at 99, and the first thing I looked at Bubba, and I go, this guy's fucking huge.
Yeah.
Nate Diaz looks huge.
Yeah.
I think he's probably about 210 right now.
Yeah, they have weird body types, man. Like, I mean, he gets so big in the off season, but then like when he at 55, he's like skin and bones. You know, it's crazy how much his weight fluctuates. But I mean, honestly, and I'm not like I love watching Connor, I love watching Nate, but I'm not like, you know, a super fan of either one. I think Connor is going to school him
really?
This time, because look what he did last time. He fought uncharacteristically. He fought like a sparring session. And he busted Nate up, and then he just gassed himself out and didn't fight wisely, and he paid the price. But I mean, and the other thing, he didn't even utilize his kicks. I kept saying the whole time before that fight that the Diaz brothers don't, or at least Nate doesn't fight well against kickers, guys that are kicking the leg. He obviously lost the fight to Josh. But when he lost to
Josh Thompson
with the head kick, he didn't check kicks very well. He's got the long legs. He's very stationary. Connor's an amazing kicker. He didn't utilize any of his kicks, and he landed 100% of his punches. He just didn't get the job done. I think if he just utilizes his kicks.
But you don't think that Nate had like a 3-day camp versus Connor's full camp, and he still lost?
That's a good point. But I still feel like look at the first round of that fight, and yeah. I'm thinking, holy crap! Just let the fight go into the second round. Like he's beating the shit out of Diaz, but then he gassed out. And Nate said he landed those 1-2s, which you know.
So I'm going to quote you. Alan Jubon says Connor will beat the shit out of Nate Diaz in the rematch.
I think he'll win. Yeah. I'm not. I mean, whatever. I think that going off of what happened last fight, although like you said, a good valid point. Nate didn't have a long camp, and he's tough as nails. Connor landed 99%, you know, of his shots against him, but he didn't fight smart and he didn't throw any kicks. If
Joe,
he utilizes
what do you think?
His kicks and movement, I think he'll put him away.
Joe, to the mic. Oh, Nate wins. Look, Joe said it. Look, I mean, if Joe says it, it's fucking. Joe never talks, so he's like Silent Bob, saying Silent Bob.
The thing that the Diaz brothers have is they have that, like, you can never count them out. Look how many fights that Nick has been involved in where he took the best shots, the best. You know, he had his legs destroyed against guys. He just took heavy blows, but they still come back. It's like you can't really knock those guys out with punches, but you can knock them out with kicks or stun them and then maybe choke them.
I think if Nate Diaz was 155 pounds or walked out 170, I think you have a very, very valid point.
Mm-hmm.
I just stand next to him. I'm like, this is a big dude.
Big, yeah.
He is a big dude.
And it's What's the expression of like a little big guy beats a big little guy or something? You know, whatever it is. I think he's too big for him. I think Connor's punches that knock out 145 pounders aren't going to knock out Nate Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that his jiu-jitsu is too good. He's got good wrestling takedown defense. I think Nate wins again.
But what if Connor goes in there with the same game plan? I'm gonna throw some haymakers, but I'm gonna stay mobile. I'm gonna keep moving. I'm gonna keep landing these big bombs without burning myself out. And then I'm gonna go to the leg now and then. Then I'm gonna go to the body kicks, the spinning back kicks. What if he hits him in the liver?
Alan, you act like you're a fighter. And
you know what I'm saying? The last fight, he didn't throw a single kick. He fought with his hands down.
It was a terrible game plan, but he also hadn't lost in like 3-4 years. His head was huge and he got humbled.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Training with this guy, Dangerous Danny Davis, on the mat.
Dylan Danis.
Dylan Danis is probably a great idea. He should bring in the best. He should bring in Mayweather for boxing. He should bring in fucking, whatever, the guy, the jiu-jitsu guy that tapped Marcelo Garcia for jiu-jitsu. No. He has the money, and he should bring in Jordan Burroughs for wrestling. If I were him, I would do all that shit. I mean, it makes no sense why he wouldn't do that.
Speaking of Floyd, he is trying to renegotiate his Mayweather contract. He wants 50-50.
Against Connor?
No. Connor's renegotiating with Floyd.
Oh, it's that fight.
Saying, I don't want 50 million. I want 50 million. And if I win, I get another 50 million. Yeah.
Speaking of the Diaz brothers, though, are they coming out with a movie or something? What's this, like, promo, the Diaz brothers movie? Have you seen that on Facebook? I don't know if it's a promo for the fight or they've been filming behind the scenes making a movie.
Maybe it's something for Nick's return.
Dope, though. It's sick. It shows the whole lead up into the fight and then after he wins the fight, it's
that's the one thing that I do worry about with Nate a little bit is, you know, before that happened with Nate, he had that big chip on his shoulder. Why am I getting $3,000 a fight?
Yeah.
Fuck everybody. DUIs.
Now everything's
Nick's getting
about,
DUIs.
I want the big money fights.
Now he walks into an arena and people are chanting Nate Diaz.
Yeah, man.
Now,
he's a star now.
Now he's doing SportsCenter. Now he's doing podcasts.
Yeah.
He never would do a podcast before. Not his podcast, but he did Chael's podcast and he did... It's a different. He's a happier Nate Diaz.
Yeah, he's comfortable and confident now, and he feels like that self value. You know, I mean, to go like you said, from getting 20-20 a fight to getting over a million in a fight, and you know.
I remember what Bert, what Mickey Watson said that no, Mickey said to Rocky, in Rocky 3, he's like, you became civilized. That's what happened. And that's why he wouldn't last three rounds against Clubber Lang.
Yeah,
and I do worry that Nate Diaz may have.
Did they? Did they make Nate Diaz got civilized?
It's like comedians, man. Like comedians are always, like Sinbad said, you're always funnier when you're riding the bus. And you look at comedians when they're coming up. Chris Rock, Chris Rock, after he did, he was on Living Color, he was the executive producer, he lost his, but then he had to follow Martin Lawrence, and Martin was at the top, and Martin was blowing him out every night. He couldn't follow Martin. Mm. So then he went, like, underground, came out hard, did Bring the Pain, still to this day, I think is the best comedy special of all time, to this day.
Yeah.
Okay, Bring the Pain. You look at Eddie Murphy when he was 14 years old doing, Delirious and doing, Raw. It was Hungry. Adam Sandler back in the day. Martin Lawrence back in the day. And then when these guys get money, we're looking at like, Snow Dogs or whatever these movies are that these people are making. Dogs.
Martin Lawrence and Rebound.
Yeah, it's just a horrible movie.
Eddie Murphy in every horrible Disney movie
right.
in the last 10 years.
Adam Sandler. I mean, what is this? What's the
Adam can still somewhat pull it off,
but they weren't when he was making The Wedding Singer.
Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
When he was young and hungry and not that rich.
Announced Jack and Jill. Yeah.
And that's what happens with these fighters sometimes.
I don't know if I don't know if that's happening to Nate. I think he's finally look at the Diaz brothers. They have kind of almost like they're uncomfortable around, people and press when they're in the limelight. And sometimes they have this kind of like defense mechanism where they just kind of, they get pissed off. You can see it during interviews. And now he's beloved,
That's
like
what I'm saying.
They're chanting. I think it's just more like he's coming into his own. He's feeling that he doesn't have to have the resistance all the time. He could accept the love, but he's still got that fight in him.
I hope so, man. That would be the worst is if he comes out like instead of giving people the finger, he makes like the hearts.
They won't do photos anymore with middle fingers.
Oh, shit.
Really?
Yeah, they won't do them anymore. They're like we can't do them anymore. It's a family show or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, but the other
that's
thing,
horrible.
But the other thing, because I've asked him, I'm like, let's do a thing with the middle fingers. Like, we can't.
Hector Lombard is calling right now. All right, so Hector Lombard. Hold on. Hello, Hector. What's going on, man?
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh,
no problem. Hey, we're going to call you back in another call in like 2 seconds. I'll call you back, okay?
Is your volume all the way up?
It is, man.
It's weird.
Oh,
this part.
Is it maybe your case?
Maybe.
What's phone number again?
All right. It's
Shouldn't it still be on your phone?
561. Okay.
Recent calls.
All right. Here we go.
Hello?
Hey, Hector Lombard. What's up, man? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, CB, Alan Juban.
What's up, brother?
And how are you, man?
Oh, good, mate. How are you?
We're doing good. We're doing good, man. What's life like? You enjoying your time in Florida?
Yeah, always.
Yeah? You are going to the beach? I'm doing good, man. I'm having my girlfriend's pregnant. I'm going to be a father.
You got to be a dad though.
Yeah. Yeah.
When that you got to be
pregnant. She just found out like last week.
No way.
Yeah.
You got what?
It wasn't on purpose. No, but we're going to have it. We're going to keep it. Maybe we'll name it Hector if it's a boy. No, I had no idea. We took a plan B and everything. This fucking baby fought hard.
Now, for real, what?
I swear to God. I swear on my life, Hector. I just found out she's pregnant. I was not expecting it at all.
Let me ask you a question. Is that a baby mama or is that a real...
No, that's my girlfriend. Like, we're going to get married and everything.
Oh, alright, that's cool.
Yeah. I'm gonna be like you. I'm gonna be a dad.
Yeah, you don't wanna be surprises.
Yeah, no surprises.
You wanna get those surprises like next thing you know you get your daddy, you never know when that happened, but like I got your baby. She'll support running up you.
Yeah, no.
Leave it the letter.
None of that, man.
Leave it the letter.
None of that.
They wanna give you that letter in the hand.
Yeah, I don't want any of that.
They chase you like you're a criminal.
Yeah, forget that. Yeah, none of that. So when are you coming back out there? Are you coming to LA? If I get married, will you? And I invite you to the wedding, will you actually come?
I definitely come. You my boy. You be my boy. Sick. They won't.
All right, cool. I might have a wedding just so I can invite Hector.
I'm graphing your wedding. I'm gonna be graphing the parking lot.
Now, any advice? Now, Hector, I know you're a good father. Any advice on being a parent?
You let me ask you a question. Before I interrupt you.
Sure.
But you believe in a marriage or what?
Yeah, well, we're gonna get married before the wedding. But before we have the kid.
Before the wedding.
Yeah.
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 Or you just
kind of
do it because she asked.
I'm in love with this girl. She's amazing. She makes me so happy. I make her happy. She's got great tits. She's a super sweet girl. So I'm totally into her.
What do kids have to do with that?
With tits or kids?
Yeah, both.
The tits, I was just making a joke, but she happened to get pregnant. We weren't trying to get pregnant. We were actually trying not to get pregnant. She took a plan B, and I didn't realize she's a quarter Mexican. So, of course she was going to get pregnant, you know?
So, do you think is she legal here, or?
Do I think she's what?
Is she legal in America?
Oh, she's legal. Yeah, no, she's legal. No, she's totally legal. Yes, no, she's 100% legal. I mean, I'm still, yeah.
I was thinking, like, you know, she probably got pregnant because it's convenient, you know what I mean?
No. She's here. She looks white. You wouldn't even know she's Mexican, other than the fact that she gets pregnant easily. So.
Does she cook? She cooks. Some tacos?
Tacos, yep. Yeah, she cooks tacos.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And does she drink beer or?
She's more a wine drinker. She has like one glass of wine.
That's not bad at all.
No, not bad at all.
Not bad at all. You're smart guy, eh? You have to look all the same good thing. When you're gonna get married, you have to look if she's an alcoholic and if she cooks, because, you know, it's very important. You have a wife, you know, she's gonna cook for you.
Yeah, no, she's gonna cook for me.
Exactly. You know, all these angles, you have to take a look. She's gonna be a good mom and stuff like that. It's not going to get married. What are you gonna get married? You gonna get married to a drunk or what?
No, she's not a drunk. I mean, she doesn't really drink at all. Just like one glass of wine.
Yeah.
And she loves to have sex.
That's the very important part too.
Yeah, no, you know, she loves.
I gotta send you a post. I gotta send you a post that I wanted to post at one point, but I didn't. And they have like a big booty. They have a big booty girl, right? Huge booty, and just, you know, half naked. She's half naked in the kitchen, and she's saying like, "I don't let my man hungry or horny."
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, me too. That's good. No, she's got a nice ass and she cooks, so I think I'm gonna do it. I'm definitely gonna do it.
She's like, she got the post like, "I never let my man hungry or horny."
Yeah, that's true. Very important. Cool. All right. Well, listen, Hector, thank you for the advice. I loved having you on the show. And we'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, brother. I'm always here for you.
You're the best.
All right.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Couples therapy with Hector Lombard.
She's got. Does she cook?
What was the advice?
If she
not to be hungry or horny.
Don't let your man be horny or hungry. Yeah,
that's good advice.
Does your wife cook?
She cooks, man. Yeah.
Your wife has a small butt, though. She doesn't have a huge booty.
She's got a good booty for an Asian girl.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on what we're comparing it to.
Yeah. The only girl I've ever ate her butt was Asian. For some reason, they seem cleaner, right?
Because all they eat is rice.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
We just lost another fighter.
What? Who'd we lose?
Amar Suliyev passed away from cancer.
Wow. That sucks.
Yeah, passed away this morning. Just found out. He fought at UFC 35 and 37. Two losses, Chuck Liddell and Phil Baroni. But I was showing Alan his record, who he's fought. He had also fought Okami, Dean Thomas, Dean Lister, Paulo Filho, Marilla Bustamange, Dennis Kang, Chael Sonnen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he beat those guys? Or?
Some he beat, some he didn't. And then after his MMA career, he was also in Pride and a few other ones. But after his MMA career, he became a contract killer, which is...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Let's do a movie about that guy's life.
Lost a lot of fighters this year.
What would you be doing if you weren't a fighter, Alan? Except for being a model.
Yeah, I guess being a model. I don't know, man. I don't know. I really don't know. And it bugged me. I'm so glad I found fighting, because my entire life up until finding fighting was just kind of like, what the fuck do I want to do? What do I want to be good at? I just want to be – I mean, what am I going to be good at? I don't like not being good at shit and floating around. You know, I want to find what I love to do, what I like to do, and then like be the best at it. So as soon as I walked into a gym when I moved to LA over 10 years ago, I knew right away, yeah, this is it. So I don't know, man. I don't know where I'd be without fighting.
And what would you do if you weren't an autographer?
Oh, by the way, I'm graphing your wedding. What?
What would you be doing if you...
I have so many other things that I do that...
You'd be like, a gamer?
Not professionally.
How good are you at video games? Are you good? Honestly.
I kind of don't want to answer this question truthfully.
Tell me.
I'm decent. I play a lot of games. But in 2006, for like a year,
you were ranked?
I was on the WWE video game.
Yeah.
I was the number one ranked Xbox player in the world.
No, you weren't.
Swear to God.
Really?
Yeah.
And then did you win any money doing this?
No. I actually had like two during that period. I think there were like two or three girlfriends that broke up with me because the fact that like I played, like, if I wasn't in school, I was playing like 12, 16 hours.
So how do you know you're number one in the world? There was
rankings. You click rankings on the menu, and I was number
one.
What
was your screen name?
I can't say that on here.
Come on,
it was racist as fuck. I can't say that.
Really?
On here. Yeah.
Racist against who? You're Jewish.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to have a guest CB screen name competition.
They'll never get it. At one point, it was just Tap or Snap, but I changed it so many times, and it was always something
why did you ever – you're not racist.
No.
What?
It was just like I saw one guy's name, and it was Fastest Cracker, and he was talking about himself, and I'm like, what could I do with that? And then I became super racist, and like
– That's not good.
It wasn't a smart decision. I actually got kicked off of Xbox Live a few times. They're like, change your screen name, or you're not allowed to come on here anymore.
Did you tell Rampage your screen name?
Hell no. Oh. But strangely enough, the first time I ever met Rampage, he saw this tattoo of the Iron Cross, which it's not actually for an Iron Cross, but he saw it and he's like, what are you, a fucking Nazi? And he started Heiling Hitler in the middle of Walmart.
Really?
I swear to God, it was hilarious.
Why did you see him? You knew he was going to be in Walmart?
He was doing a signing for MMA Elite in Vegas.
You were ranked number one. Okay, so if you guys listening could think you could beat CB in these video games.
They probably can, because I don't play like that much.
You were number one in the world.
That was in 2006 and 2007.
Do you play video games at all?
No.
No. I remember when I went to wrestling camp, I'm still pissed at myself. It was right when NBA Jam came out. Yeah. I used to love NBA Jam.
Like regular or tournament edition?
In the arcade, I don't know. But I didn't go to Dan Gable's house because I played NBA Jam instead. I was so stupid. Dan Gable's like the best wrestler of all time. And instead of going to his house, see his trophies, I went and played NBA Jam. I'm like at wrestling camp.
What was that movie in the 80s when we were young with, you know, the guy that played Nintendo and he went and had the big tournament at the end? And
Wasn't Fred Savage in it? Was he the
I
guy
think so, yeah, Fred Savage. And I think that's where they introduced the Power Glove or something like that.
Right.
Remember that movie?
I definitely.
I have no idea.
You were.
Yeah, that was my generation. Thanks. I know.
You were
I'm
definitely
old.
Around.
I know. I know. My girlfriend was like, you know what's great? You're going to be old enough to see our kid graduate high school. I'm like, shut up. Okay. I don't. I'm like, guess I'm not
what?
That old. She's saying, because I'm going to be 60. Well, I'm gonna be 50 when
you're
gonna
be 39, most likely, like around the time of the kid being born.
Yeah,
your
I know.
Birthday just passed.
I know, but when the kid's 9, I'm gonna be 57 when the kid's like 19. Whatever. I'm young. You know, I still work out. I fucking sleep till late. I do comedy.
You avoid surgery like the plague.
I'm gonna avoid surgery. Oh yeah.
Fucking
August,
ACL.
August 3rd.
You better start getting it fixed up so you can run with your kid and carry him around. And
dude, it's going to be a six-month surgery.
Yeah, and you've been putting it off for over a year and a half.
I know. You never had ACL surgery?
I've had three of them. Well, not three. I've had ACL, meniscus, two meniscus. Yeah, it's brutal.
The freaking 10th Planet should really outlaw those
electric chairs.
Because the Connor Hewn, the same thing happened to him. It's like they set wrestlers up because we're so used to being pinning on top that we're just so susceptible to that electric chair. Yeah. They really should not. I mean, it works, but fuck, man.
You just have to be, you know, careful who you're going with, or you know, it is an odd position to be in.
Are you still teaching classes?
I still teach at 10th Planet Burbank. I teach Muay Thai though. I don't teach Jiu-Jitsu.
When I get fixed, I'm gonna come take your class.
Come take it. Yeah.
But I'm putting all your students on blast, okay? I'm coming to take over your...
Take you down.
We know you're coming. There's a baby on the way.
I know. I'm coming to class. I can't wait to do that. That's the one thing I miss the most is working out. I went 5 days last week to the gym and lifted, and then I took 5 days off. It's not good.
You're in an oil field or something.
But anyway, I think that's our podcast today. Anything coming up? You got your fight.
Yeah, we leave Sunday, man. So, you know, this week right now, like I said, we're just kind of polishing up things. The hard work's done. We leave Sunday for Vegas. I'm fighting on Thursday.
Now, will you thank MMA Roasted?
What?
Will you thank MMA Roasted after you win?
Sure, yeah. I'll tweet you guys out.
No. Fuck, man. No one's ever going to thank us. Fucking, what's the name said he would thank us?
Bubba,
and so did Cody Nolove. Because I was a fan.
Oh, really?
I helped Cody Nolove. Was like, hey man, I'm can you help tweet this? I want to get into the UFC. So I fucking tweeted like his videos out. I gave him all kinds of respect and love. He told me he did it, but you know, now
he's a star now.
Now
it's
he's
like
a star.
Rocky, yeah.
Yeah, these guys. Bubba did wear MMA Roasted on his shorts.
And but, he ain't even got those shorts no more.
Oh, then CB bought them. Now how often do you sniff the shorts?
The funny thing is the day I got them was the day I put them in a shadow box. So nice try. And I posted it on Twitter.
I know you didn't sniff the shorts either.
Texted to everybody. I'm working on a project for a wall in my apartment that's
really?
Just Bubba stuff.
Is it to keep your parents out of it?
My parents never come over.
Really?
Yeah. The only time they've been in my apartment was when I moved in 2 years ago. When I lived in Vegas for 3 years, they came once. And before that, they never came over.
How many times has the FBI come and just looked around?
usually they come when I'm sleeping so they can get away with doing whatever they want.
Good. By the way, guys, so next week I will be at the LA Comedy Club Monday through Friday. Still a couple comps available. And then also on Thursday, Dean Thomas and Leslie Smith are doing stand-up. And Wednesday night, I'm doing Frank Mir's podcast after the show. So after the show at 10:30, we're doing a live podcast with Frank Mir and Richard Hunt. Richard Hunter. Nice guy. Richard Hunter. Yeah, he's a good dude. So, and Sunday. And look, there's going to be fighters coming to the shows. I'm not going to say who, but one of them is the women's 135 pound champion. She's coming one of the nights. I'm not saying which one. Alan's coming on Wednesday. Alan, if you guys want to meet Alan, grab his cock. He loves it when he loves it when random fans grab his cock. So especially dudes. All right. So the bigger the dude, just squeeze really hard and say good luck. Okay. So if you see Alan at the show, grab his cock. Tuesday night I'll be at the Dime Bar. I got a show in Hollister coming up, Fresno.
The clothing store or the city?
The city. City, okay. Hollister, Fresno, and a bunch of shows coming up. What do you got, Joe, coming up?
Thursday,
Flappers. This Thursday.
Oh, yeah, that's the podcast show, huh?
Oh, shit, I am on Thursday. I forgot. I knew I had something Thursday. Thursday, I'm at Flappers, yes. And Wednesday night, I'm in a show in Beverly Hills. Friday, I'm at the Ice House.
Where are you at Beverly Hills?
Some show, some private lounge or something. Huh. It's pretty cool. CB, anything coming up?
Nothing really coming
up. Your YouTube.
I'm waiting for the fucking opportunity.
All right, go.
No, I'm watching, starting tomorrow, I'm watching The House again with the dogs, so... I'll be up in the Hollywood Hills, loving life, living the rich kid life, whatever. And, yeah, I've got the new YouTube show. It's CB's Gold MMA News Show. The first episode is up on YouTube. Search either CB Gold, or you can, I think you could search CB the Grenade as well. Look out for it. First episode's up. Second episode will be recorded within the next few days. Got a lot of news to talk about. Appreciate all the followers and fans for subscribing, checking me out. Got 200 views already since I released it.
Nice.
So yeah, just look out for that. It's my own little webcam show, and I'm going to keep them going. And if you want to participate in the show, send me a Q&A question. You will get a shout out, a tag, and I will answer it at the end of the episode. So look out for me. I'm doing that on the side. I'm not leaving MMA Roasted. Everybody's very concerned that Adam and I are no longer working together, and that's not happening. I'm never leaving MMA Roasted, so you're fucking stuck with me, all you people.
Thanks. Well, thank you guys so much, and thank you, Alan. Good luck next week, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
He don't need luck. He's fighting Bilal.